Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Today, we're going to talk about looking good power. Why? Because all women, very few exceptions, want to look well. And the statements of the fashion world often have dictated what we have in our closet and what we choose to adorn ourselves with. And there's a big myth about the color black. My guest today, who is in England, Jewel Standish, has put together a book titled How Not, and the word not is in big red letters, to wear black. And I want to welcome Jewel Standish to the show. Hello, Jules. I'm so delighted that you're able to be with us today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Now, Jules, here in America, one of the fashion rules, especially for a woman that is going to be in the professional arena, is if you don't have a lot of money, always have that simple black dress, a string of pearls to go around your neck, pearl earrings, and a nice pair of black pumps. And when I got your information on your book, of course, you're an image consultant in England, and you work with color. What changed your mind about the little black dress element?
Well, I was seeing so many men over a period of time all came to see me wearing black. And it was interesting to me to note for psychological reasons and physical reasons for what you've just said. Women were wearing it to feel safe. It was an easy element of the wardrobe. You just opened the door and lots of black, so you didn't have to think about it. And more importantly, it was and seems to be an emotional issue, particularly for women, that they feel slim in it, they feel safe in it. So there's an awful lot of elements and reasons why women choose to wear black. But very importantly for me, when I'm showing people whether black suits them and what colors to wear for their lifestyle and their own personality and coloring, is whether black really suits them. And what's interesting is that black doesn't suit an awful lot of women because it's the color of introversion, and it only really suits cool skin tones and cool coloring. If a warm-skinned lady puts black up against her face, it can age her dramatically by 10 and sometimes up to 20 years. And when women actually see the detrimental effects, the aging effects of black, they often are so horrified that they don't want to wear it again. Or, more importantly, they want to understand how to continue to wear it without damaging their looks and being able to still keep it as a staple in their wardrobe, but not aging themselves dramatically.
I think that's so important. And there's two things that come into my mind as we're chatting. One is, I had a conversation with a very dear friend yesterday. She is sort of blondish, brown hair tone and color, very, very fair complexion. And she was talking about how she absolutely hated black because whenever she put it on, it did exactly what you're talking about. So if she didn't put a contrasting color like a turquoise blue scarf, she looks lovely in spring tones. And when she wears black, if black is the common color of the basic of her wardrobe that she's expressing herself through, she said, I look like Methuselah. It's just terrible. It washes me out. I don't care how much makeup I wear. It just looks terrible. And then I think of a woman that I know that was very much a woman of size. In fact, I can remember when she was about 300 pounds. And that's all she wore was black. And it saddened me, because even though she was a woman of size, it just absolutely washed her out. So the myth, and it certainly didn't make her look slimmer. She was still 300 pounds. Mm. So the myth of this has been perpetuated for so long. Who was the originator of this?
Well, that's an interesting question, because the black fat, if you want to call it, started way back in the church when black was the color of mourning and sadness, and that's been carried through into our society now with funerals, and it's a color of respect in Christian church. It really became fashionable women. Audrey Hepburn, she totally transformed the black dress in the 20s, and it became the thing to be in. But the thing about black, and it's important what you said, women who hide themselves it because leave it to be slim. Actually, it's not part of that woman coloring and personality type. It makes them look bigger, but it's because we've been brainwashed by the media, by all the fashion houses that black, particularly in women, is only to be seen in. Very hard for women, they're going out to buy clothes for themselves when black everywhere. So what do you do? You know, it is the color that is pushed all the time by dinners. And every single year, I think it's very hard for women then to know what really suits them. If we lift our instincts, you say you saw yesterday, she clearly was wearing in colouring, she was a sanguine personality type, she was probably loving, sociable, enjoys life. And those types of people who are good communicators, they really look fantastic in bright, warm colours. And to drown themselves in black, particularly large women, and also to have black up against the face, can make them look larger and will particularly age them. So it's a really key thing to understand what and how powerful color can actually be, even in very small amounts. And it doesn't have to be expensive. A scarf, a small piece of jewelry, a shirt under a jacket, very simple tools that you can actually just choose to buy a few colors that you like and add them into a very staple black or dark wardrobe.
Now, color analysis is something that I'm very familiar with, and I know I was a winter person, but as I have gotten older and as my hair color has changed, I'm finding that there are different tones that I can wear that, my goodness, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have even considered. I can wear a deep golden orange tone, for example, that I would no more have been willing to wear 5 or 10 years ago than a man in the moon, but it looks absolutely wonderful on me today. And skin tones change. And then also very vibrant pinks, not the neon pink, but a deep, rich, vibrant pink, I can wear very well. And I use me as an example because I think as we mature, again, and you bring this out in your book, How Not to Wear Black, that we have to be alert to the fact that as we get older, our skin tones, our hair tones are going to change. And when we can be aware of that, then we can age gracefully with color and enjoy color. I remember a woman of size that came to me for a counseling session, and just like I was describing with this one gal, would wear black, her clothes didn't fit her right, and she was embarrassed because she was a woman of size. And I told her, you can look lovely, absolutely beautiful, even though you are a woman of size. You don't have to dress dowdily. And I think it was about 6 months later I saw her, and she was wearing a royal blue dress that had an accent of black, but the primary color was this gorgeous royal blue. And with her skin tones, she had gone and gotten her hair fixed. She looked like $1 million. I didn't even recognize her. She had done a 180-degree shift, and she felt absolutely fabulous about herself. And it reflected in the way that she dressed. And I think that this is so important. And you bring this information out in your book.
Yes, I think that you've hit on something very key, particularly for women who are aging, because the confidence levels drop. And what happens is that the skin changes, the hair changes, and sometimes the body changes. And women get to a stage where all the things that were familiar and easy and suited them suddenly don't look so good anymore. And the confidence goes. And to me, it is all about giving women the confidence to look and feel their best. And actually, when you get into the colors that people look at you and say, wow, you look really well today, you smile. And that in itself shows that the color you've got on reflects up into your skin tone, your hair color, your eyes, and it is making you look your most attractive. And who doesn't want to look their most attractive, particularly as we're aging? And the detrimental effects on the face that so many people now are searching cosmetic surgery for, if you get the right color up against the face, it can really do that job, and it's not expensive, and it doesn't need as much makeup because your skin will automatically be looking healthy. And even skin tone has been proven to be the most attractive when seen on a woman. So if you can actually get your skin tone, either the yellow golden undertone or the blue pink cool undertone, to really come out with the right colors against your face, it can do 10 years, it can do 20 years younger. And not only will you look your best, you will feel it. So that confidence level will grow. And because color is also psychological as well as physical, we do absorb color through our skin as well as our eyes. So it is all about feeling well and not just looking well. So the two combined can make us really feel fantastic as we age.
Now, I know that women of color, and my goodness, there are so many different tones. You'll have the very strong yellow tone sometimes in the Asian culture. You will have among the African-American women or African women, you'll have everything from a very soft cream ivory tone to a very, very, very deep black tone. And you have everything in between. And I really think that it's fascinating to watch the use of color, not just in clothes, but like in lipsticks and in makeup, because you will have one person that looks absolutely fabulous in a brown lipstick. You put it on someone else, and they look like they're in a horror film. Mm-hmm. And how can people really make a good evaluation? Sometimes we have things set in our head that this is what I'm supposed to wear, or it's the fashion of the day. What would you say to women, young women, as far as looking at makeup? And because I know when I was a young woman, some of the things that I wore, oh my word, just awful. It's just terrible. I've become wiser as I've matured, and sometimes it was comments that other people made to me. For example, gee, you know what? You don't look particularly good with green eyeshadow up to your eyebrows. It's okay for Halloween, but for every day, it's not very good. So when you have things like this that happen to you when you're younger, that makes you aware. But to really find those components, I've discovered sometimes people that assist you at makeup counters haven't a clue.
That's a very valid point, and I get that so much over here too. You know, I've had it done myself in the past, and like you, you know, it was bright turquoise eyeshadow when I was younger. Awful. And actually, it was awful. But the girls, they're not often trained in understanding skin tone, and it is the inherited genetic skin tone of each and every one of us that is so important. And generally, the rule is the darker the skin tone, the darker the colors that you can wear makeup-wise and in your clothing. And what's really important for me is to also be able to appeal to younger girls so that they don't go through their lives making all these mistakes, that they know at a young age what colors really suit them, rather than following fashion, which is hard because we are all driven by fashion, but fashion changes so quickly every season. There's a different length of skirt, there's a different shirt we're meant to be wearing, different colors become fashionable or not. So we're all very driven by the media and by magazines, but actually the key is to really understand what our own skin type is, what our own colouring is, and what our own body type is. And it's to find your style, and then you can add in bits of fashion when they appeal to you, when they suit you. It's a lot about personality as well. The very extrovert people will often always choose the warm reds, so it is actually about not just getting the right colours on your face, it's also about understanding your personality type. If you are that outgoing personality, those bright, warm, strong colours are going to reflect who you really are, whereas an introverted person would rather be seen dead than wear those colours. They want to wear the very soft pastels that make them disappear in a crowd because that makes them feel good about themselves. They don't want to really stand out when they walk down the street. I was involved in an interesting experiment last year when the book came out about a really extrovert person who loved to wear bright colours, who was put in black, and a very introverted person who always wore black and who was put in colour. And the extrovert couldn't stand to be in black for 1 minute because nobody noticed her. She was terribly upset about it. And yet the woman who'd always been in black and went into colour, it was such a revelation to her that actually she could wear colours. They didn't have to be really bright and strong. They were just enough to make her feel that her spirits had been lifted and she looked better. So colour is important not just to match our skin tones, but also our personality types.
Well, I know there's, and I'm sure many of my listeners would say, well, we are aware of the spring, the summer, the autumn, and the winter colors. And, of course, on your book, on your book cover, you have the samples of those colors, and there's lots of shades, and it's the shades that make a difference.
Yes.
People will say, I can never wear red. Mm-hmm. Well, I know my husband, when we first got married, if he wore red, it looked terrible. However, today, because he has got his hair is a much different shade, his skin color has changed, he puts on red, and if it's a warm red, not a brilliant, bright scarlet, if it's a warm red, it looks fabulous. It absolutely looks wonderful on him. And it's amazing how you will change. For him, it was always blue and brown. I'm bringing a man into the picture, but I think it's just as much for men as
it is for
women. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that I see some men wearing colors. Mm-hmm. I know there's the old standard of the black suit with the white shirt and maybe the tie. Men often will express themselves to the color of their tie and maybe a matching handkerchief if they're wearing a suit, if they're being more formal in their dress.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that there are those, again, the times, whether you're male or female, that the use of color is wonderful. And I just am so glad that there's this opportunity for men to wear various shades. And it's really going to make them feel good, too.
I think men are starting to express themselves. They're being allowed to express themselves now, actually, in this generation, which is so fantastic to see, as you rightly say. And I think in the workplace now, it's not as formal in a lot of professions as it used to be. It's almost more important for men to get the colors right up against their faces because they don't have the camouflage of makeup that us women have. So they can't choose a lipstick that could be fantastic for a certain lady's skin tone. They have to rely on the shirt, the tie, the suit. And it is also a form of expression, particularly in the workplace when you meet someone, you form an opinion of them within the first 60 seconds of meeting them. So that impression that they're giving, if someone's dressed all in black, all in white, it's very severe. And it's very harsh, and it gives a very formal impression. And in a lot of industries now, particularly in the media world, men have that freedom to express themselves. And you often see men in pink shirts and blue, and they're wearing what really they feel they want to wear that day. And that's fantastic to see now.
I agree. Now, you bring out some interesting facts with color, which I think is very good. And your book, How to Not Wear Black, is more than just talking about color in dress and design. You go into dealing with the history of color, like during the Pythagorean period in 500 BC, the use of color in an environment. Boy, is that important. So when you're dressing yourself, you're creating your own environment, which you have said in different ways already today, but also using colored light therapy. You bring out a system called the electrocrystal therapy to treat energy imbalances in the body. I really think this is important because scientifically we are recognizing that there is this energy factor, and it does have a color spectrum to it, and it does make a difference. Now, this has been knowledge that has been around for a long, long time, but a lot of people laughed at it. They don't do it today.
Yes, I think it's coming back into fashion, actually. I really do. There's so much written now about color therapy. They've done so many experiments now in prisons. They put prisoners in red rooms that has made them more aggressive and then put them in a blue room and watch them all calm down. You know, I think color is being experimented with a lot more now. We use it in restaurants and hospitals. It's no coincidence that the medics, certainly here, they all wear green gowns because green is the color of physical harmony. So I think it is starting to be experimented with and used a lot more in businesses and in homes. And that's fantastic to see happen because we don't just absorb color through our skin. It's also through our eyes. And it has
a very powerful
healing effect on us.
Well, it's a known fact in advertising. Anybody that goes into that area of study, the importance of color. And many years ago, I had a waitress tell me that had worked for a major chain of restaurants here in the United States. And they were educated as employees as to why certain color schemes, and this was an Italian restaurant. In Italian restaurants, from the time I was a little girl, red was always a predominant color. And it was either checkered red tablecloths or whatever, but red and green. The Italians are a very vibrant people, and they love their color. But red was often predominant in the restaurants. And the reason is that when you have red in a restaurant environment, people eat faster.
Yep.
They are more vibrant in conversation, and they leave quicker. And they found this in
research. Correct. Yeah. We have it here in our restaurants, in the restaurants, that the fast food restaurants, they're covered in red. It's absolutely right. They want to create an environment where they come in, they eat, they chat, they move very quickly. They don't want to stay in a red environment because it's so stimulating. So you want to move on. And likewise, if you painted it in a blue or a green environment, those people would stay a lot longer. They'd feel very relaxed, very calm. They'd have a very peaceful evening. So it's absolutely correct what you're saying about the environments that we're in. They are very important. Color is very healing. If you actually wear red or look at it for a long length of time, it releases the hormone adrenaline. So if somebody needs an energy boost physically, they're feeling very low, very run down, particularly at this time of year, wearing some red, even if it's a small amount, in underwear, for instance, a t-shirt, you don't have to necessarily show it, but just wear it and feel that energy. It will give you an energy boost. And if you need to calm yourself down, communicating with a lot of people and are nervous, blue releases oxytocin, which is why when we all go on holiday and we look at a blue sky, blue sea, we all feel very relaxed. So it does actually affect the endorphins in our body.
Absolutely. And add a little bit of golden yellow, which is like sunshine, you're going to go, woo, especially during days of winter. Oh, my goodness. Color is so important. And I think many times when you walk into certain environments, there is this awareness of comfort or discomfort, and we're reading those colors. We're reading the energy that they relate. There are times that you'll walk. I'll never forget, years ago, here in the United States, I went to see a physician, and he had had his offices painted, and they had been painted in a blue, but it was in this sort of darkish blue, very, very cold, very harsh kind of blue. And I can remember sitting in the examining room saying, I got to get out of here. I cannot stand it. What in the world? This shade is terrible. Then it was years later, I was in another physician's office, and this physician's office was painted in a yellow. All of his examining rooms were painted in this wonderful color of yellow, not a garish yellow, but a happy, nice yellow color, and you felt warm in that room, and it was just the color. It was just the color. The temperature, I'm sure, was the same. But when I was in that other blue room, it was very depressing. Well, I learned later the doctor was very depressing.
It is a cool color. It's the cold color of the spectrum. And dark blue actually is renowned for being quite depressing. It's really interesting that you pick that up in such a short space of time. But very dark blue is a depressive color. It's very, very cool. And you can feel colder in a very dark blue room. But yellow is on the warm end of the color spectrum, and it's joyous. It's mentally stimulating. I often have people who say to me, oh, I painted my baby's room yellow because I didn't know I was having a girl or a boy. So I painted yellow, and I said, that's great. Does the baby sleep? And they say, no, terrible, up all night. Well, yellow is the mental stimulator. So you put a child in a yellow room, it's going to be having fabulous thoughts all night, but it is not going to be sleeping. So yellow is fabulous for a playroom, a toy room, a study, for all those areas, but it's not a color that's inducive to being in a peaceful state because it's a warm, stimulating color. So I always, particularly when I speak to and I see teachers and I talk to them about their children that they're teaching, color is so important to the children. And yellow is one of those colors that really is very joyous and happy. It is equally a color that a lot of women struggle to like, which is very interesting to me because it's also the color of self-love. And I think yellow suits an awful lot of people when they don't believe it to be the color for them.
Well, I agree. In fact, red and yellow are my favorite colors. I think, and you know, that's just me. That's just what I've enjoyed. I found that that's a predominant color in my life. But I love the other shades of the spectrum, too. Well, I'll tell you what, Jules, this has been delightful. And I know that men and women around the world would definitely all feel better about themselves if they had an understanding of color. And your book, How Not to Wear Black, goes a long way to sharing the wisdom of color and how we can use it to give a reflection of who we are and really put ourselves in environments of color with, by the way we dress, about where we want to see ourselves, what we want, how we want other people to view ourselves as well. And I think that that's quite significant. You also have a test, a self-test that someone can take to get an evaluation about who they are and how the colors can affect them in a positive way. What is your website, Jules?
My website is www.colorconsultancy.co.uk. And I thank you, Donna, for helping to spread the word about color because it's something I feel very passionately about and it's totally transformational for a lot of people. So it's wonderful to be able to educate people on the power of color.
Oh, I think it is fun. I think it's wonderful. I think it's liberating. And I think when we can talk about it, then we can take a positioning of thoroughly enjoying our own uniqueness and yet having fun experimenting with color. And I think that, again, that's what your book, How Not to Wear Black, how that really can assist anyone. So, Jules Standish, I wish you continued success in everything that you do. Thank you so much for being my guest today, and your book is absolutely fun and delightful.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to be taking a break, and telephone lines will be open in just a moment, but we're going to come back with some more good things to share, so stay with me. I look forward to sharing the information with you. We're going to be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them?
then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I'm so delighted that you were able to join me. Isn't it fun to be able to chat with someone in another part of the world that is involved with daily activities and concerns like the rest of us have? So many times we think we're so isolated, and we're really not. Men and women around the world are always interested in looking good. So Jewel Standish is just a delightful, delightful woman, and it was a lot of fun chatting with her. Okay, telephone lines are now open, 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener, I am delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, and all I need from you is your first name or your initial. I love to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, I'll give you my impressions and information, because I'm an information resource available to you, and you can just give me a call, again, at 888-627-6008. Well, tomorrow, we're going to be talking about naked determination. Gisela Hausman is going to be my guest. Determination is a word that you don't often hear people use, and I think it's a powerful word. Whenever you think of the word determined, you sort of have an image of someone who's brows are set in a firm positioning on the face, and the eyes are clear, and they're looking forward to something. But it is a mental posturing that I think enables us to really understand that determination is part of what makes success in life, however you define success. But it takes determination to achieve anything. And that is what we're going to be talking about tomorrow. And then we're going to be talking with Stanley Krippner. We're going to be discussing a man who has passed away. His name is Rolling Thunder. But Rolling Thunder left a legacy. And this is what Stanley is going to be sharing with us. This shaman, American medicine man, the information that he wanted to pass on as part of his legacy. So we're going to be talking with Stanley Krippner on Friday. And by the way, if you want to know more about any of the guests that I have upcoming on the show, all you have to do is go into either my website, you'll see a listing of guests, or right here on BBS, all you have to do is tap the show information button, and you'll find out more about the guests that are coming up. Well, I wanted to share something with you. I absolutely believe that nutrition is so vital to our well-being. And this is becoming more and more public. It used to be it was just you just take a vitamin pill, or gee whiz, you follow the dietary guidelines and this is going to make your life perfect, established by the United States government. Well, that is something that we are finding is not correct. So, and it's been known by a lot of people for a long time, it's not correct. And having good nutrition doesn't mean you have to give up good food or food that tastes good. Maybe I should put it that way. If you're like me, you've been in some environments where people say, I'm eating healthy, and you find out what they're eating, and you go, gag, gag, wah, wah, I couldn't eat that stuff if my life depended on it. And I just have to laugh because I have had situations where people went just on and on about their food and I took a taste of it and I had to be mannerly and I had to swallow it. But there were times that I managed to get, if I had a paper napkin up to my lips and patted and everything went into the paper napkin and I just said, that's nice, and I play around with the food on my plate and I pass it by. Well, we have soon, or I should say, we now know that good food is good food, and it can be prepared well, and you can eat well. I think during the winter months, soups are just magical. And I came across an article in the Reader's Digest, and it had a recipe for Anna's Perfect Green Soup. And I wanted to share it with you because I think, especially for women, even more so for them than men, but often if you can have something that can nourish your body and it's going to be comfortable for you to digest, and it's involving greens, like your kale, your collards, your spinach, something like this, you're going to have a win-win. And so many people, after the holidays, you bloat up like a balloon, and you just go, oh, I just don't know how I'm going to get rid of this. And maybe it's not a whole bunch of weight, but you're just feeling like your body is lead. And you say, oh, I've got to just trim down. Well, this lady, her name is Anna Thomas, and Anna found one day, she lived in a cabin, she said, I had to change my attitude. I was getting down in the dumps. It was dark. She said, I was depressed. So this is what she decided to do. She said she got some greens that I just mentioned. Now, she used some chard, some spinach, some kale. She had Italian parsley and some cilantro. And what she did, she just went and cleaned it up, tossed it into a skillet along with some sliced onion, and add a little garlic. And she said, oh, it just smelled good, really smelled good. And she said, then I went and got out a big pot, filled the pot with water, added some sea salt, a bit of a diced potato. And as soon as my onions had caramelized a little bit, she said, I went and put it into the pot with the greens, which I had torn into little pieces and put in the pot. Add a little bit of red pepper, a little bit of lemon juice, and she just let it cook up. It doesn't take too long. And I'll tell you what, you can put this kind of stuff in a crock pot and just let it do it. And then she went and used a blender. She put the mixture of the soup in a blender, and it came out real creamy and real smooth. She said, oh, it just tasted so good. And she said she decided it made her feel so good she was going to fix a lot of it, and before she knew it, she was into her skinny jeans. So I wanted to share this recipe with you because I think it's an important thing. I think we can have something that tastes good, and you can adapt this to whatever your taste buds might be. But it enables you to get minerals and nutrients into your body. And it's hot. It's just fabulous for the colder weather. And it is going to keep you in a healthier frame of mind. So this is what you need. She gives the recipe. She said it takes about an hour. And this is a serving, like maybe if you were going to have a group of people, serving for eight. It's about a cup and a quarter per person. But I'll tell you what, figure it out for yourself and just put it in containers, and all you have to do is warm it up when you're ready to have something hot and satisfying. Makes a great snack. 2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, and you may want to have a little bit more in your soup after this is all prepared. You need 2 yellow onions, and you want to chop them. You need a teaspoon of salt, and that's going to be divided up a bit. You need 1/4 cup of arborio rice. Now, I've never used arborio rice. I'd say if you want to use some wild rice or if you want to use regular rice, whatever you have available, brown rice would be better because of the fiber. Personal bias being stated there, of course. And 1 pound of your greens, your chard, your kale, mustard greens, beet greens. You're going to need about 14 cups of gently packed spinach. That's about 12 ounces of spinach. So if you can buy a package of pre-washed spinach, you can do that. You're going to need about 4 cups of vegetable broth, and I would say you could use beef or chicken broth if you like, whatever your preference is. And she recommends a big pinch of cayenne pepper, a tablespoon of lemon juice, and if you want more, you can use it. And again, just what I said before, your onions you're going to put in a skillet along with a little bit of salt, and cook it, stirring it until they begin to brown. It's going to take about 5 minutes. And then you add 2 tablespoons of water to that, cover it, and you cook the onions until they're reduced. And again, they've got a caramel color, and it'll take anywhere between 15 to 25 minutes. But you don't want to burn them. You want them a golden brown. Then you want to take 3 cups of water, the remaining 3/4 teaspoon of salt, and your rice. Put it in a soup pot or a Dutch oven. I'd say put it in your crock pot. Bring it to a boil. And in a crock pot, you don't even need to worry about bringing it to a boil. But if you've got a pot on the top of the stove, you bring it to a boil, reduce the heat so you have a simmer, cover, and then let it cook for 15 minutes. Then your greens, you can be tearing them up after they've been washed, and you remove the ribs and the tough stems from your greens and your spinach and your chard or whatever you're going to use. And then I just tear it into pieces, or you can chop it if you want. Once the rice mixture is cooked for about 15 minutes, then you stir in your greens, return to a simmer, cover, and then cook it for about 10 minutes. Put in your onions if they've caramelized, and then you just add them right along. Just put it right in. Now, if you want, you know, and then add your seasonings, and it's going to take a little bit of time, maybe 5 minutes for the greens to cook, but I'll tell you what, I just believe in putting it all in the crock pot. I'm lazy, and you can add garlic, you could do whatever you want, and put it in the crock pot, have your liquid, add your greens, your onions, everything. I wouldn't even cook the onions. That's how lazy I am. Put it in your crock pot and put it up to about 250 to 300 degrees. Leave it alone. Let it cook. Let it simmer. All the flavors will marry. And then if you want it really creamy, and if you have one of those handheld blenders that you can just immerse in the liquid, that's great. Otherwise, use a regular blender. Let the mixture cool a little bit and do small batches at a time in a blender so that it gets pureed. And then what you're going to find, if you add feta cheese to it, ooh, good, 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 creamy, creamy flavor when the soup is hot. It's just wonderful. You can add feta cheese to this. You can add croutons. I mean, you can just, you'll have this green soup. If you love pea soup, if you like something like that, you're going to thoroughly enjoy this. And this is healthier than pea soup. Excuse me, but it is. And you're going to get lots of minerals. And we women need those minerals for our bones. The guys need them for their muscles and their bones, too. But gals, it improves your calcium level in your body. It's just really good. It tastes good. And just add whatever flavorings you want. If you want it spicy, use cayenne. Use chili powder. Use garlic. But it is going to give you an energy and not burden the body. So having it in the evening is just fabulous. Donna Sebo here. I've got a spooky tale to tell you and a little bit of this and a little bit of that when we come back. So don't go away. I'll be back in just a moment to share something else with you. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. If you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008 is the number to call. We're stepping back in time to the year 1819, November the 10th. We're also going to be traveling to the city of Montreal, Quebec. On that day, on that particular day, the people in Montreal thought the world was coming to an end. No kidding. And for good reason. Clouds were blocking out the sun. The sky was a sickly green to an inky black color. And soot was literally raining down from the sky. Now, these heavy clouds rolled in very early in the day. The sky went from a dark green to black. Every once in a while, the sun could be seen. And when it was seen, it was a deep, dark brown, or people would say it looked like a ghastly, unearthly yellow color. Sometimes it showed itself like with a brilliant orange or even a blood red sun. Vapor covered everything. By 12 noon, lights had to be turned on. People were terrified. This was unparalleled. They didn't know if this was being caused by a forest fire. Was there a mountain erupting? Was there a volcano? Or was it doomsday? In mid-afternoon, clouds were moving extremely fast over the city. It was pitch dark. And the issue of Scientific American in May of 1881 said there was a quiet feel. No birds could be heard, nothing. It was just this quiet essence. And then one of the most glaring flashes of lightning ever beheld flamed, that's the word they use, flamed over the country, accompanied by a clap of thunder, which was so loud that the whole city of Montreal just seemed to shake. After that, there was this thick, soapy, sooty rain that fell. After the rain, the weather seemed to improve for a little bit, and then it got extremely dark again. They had another spectacular flash of lightning, a lightning that hit the city, and it struck the spire of a parish church. Well, everybody was just terrified. People ran out of their houses, and they went to the church. They felt that was going to be the safest place for them because the lightning was being attracted to the spire. When it got hit the last time, the huge iron cross that was on top of the church that had an iron ball at its foot crashed to the ground and broke into a bunch of slivers. To this day, no one has an idea of what it was that caused this unbelievable phenomena that thousands of people witnessed in the city of Montreal, Quebec. The very next day, everything was perfectly normal. The unusual, always. What went on for just that one city? Oh, boy, you could have all kinds of fun things that you could make up to go along with that one, couldn't you? That'd be a good story to tell on a Halloween night. Self-control. Here we are in the new year. What do you need to do to bring in that aspect into your life? Have you ever done something like maybe gone to a party and found that your favorite potato chip was there, and before you knew it, the whole bowl was empty and you're the one that really was there doing it? Or maybe you are really addicted to video games, or there's just various things that you just say, I can't be around it because if I am, I just lose all kinds of control. I just get totally obsessed with it. Well, scientific research, don't you always love those terms? Scientific research. And there's always somebody researching something somewhere. Well, they've done some research on willpower and self-control. And scientists have said it's developing a mental emotional muscle, if you will. And it's through due diligence that you can learn how to do what you need to do so that you don't go against or you work for yourself, not against yourself, when it comes to self-control. And they said self-control gets sapped by decisions, distractions, and stress. But you can do something. Now, so many of us, I don't know about you, but let's say you're in business, and you get emails, and you might get anywhere from 100 to 250 to 500 emails a day. And you can sit in on the computer and be working on that computer, and before you know it, you've spent 2, 3, 4 hours just taking care of your email. Or maybe you like to get into something else. You go, how can I make sure that I don't overdo on certain things? Well, let's talk about snacking for a minute. After all, we're in the new year. Most of us are saying, well, I need to trim down a bit. Well, if you will have items that are going to give you protein or fiber, then you're not going to have a problem with snacking because that's going to satisfy you. But I'll tell you something. What I find sometimes is that if I'm especially busy and I am doing a lot of reviewing of material or mentally I'm very engrossed in a lot of activity, then I like a piece of chocolate. I'll confess, I like to have that. Well, sugar is brain food, whether it comes through a piece of fruit, a piece of candy, or whatever. And it is used by the brain immediately. And that's why people that have low blood sugar problems, even diabetics, they are told carry around a piece of candy. Because if you're low blood pressure, like I know I have at times, you'll pass out. You'll just black out. Everything will just turn black in front of you, and bingo, you're on the floor. So you need to remember to have something to eat, and it really makes a difference. So like a friend of mine said, she's learned she munches during the day. She has little things. So nuts, protein snacks, piece of cheese, egg, a little bit of a cracker. You don't need a whole bunch, but that keeps you so that you're not going to overeat if that's a big problem that you have. Also, getting your rest. Getting into the habit of making sure that you have a good night's sleep is so important because that makes your effectiveness in whatever you do much better. And so this is important. And you know what? Clutter, whatever things you are having to deal with, take little baby steps. But remember, you can overcome this by just developing a particular habit. And try developing this new habit over a period of a month or so. Before you know it, it's entrenched, and you're perfectly happy with it. So when you want to take something away, always remember to replace it with a habit that is going to supplant what you're trying to get rid of with something that you're trying to attain. My goodness, the hour just flew by. I'm so delighted you were able to join me today. Tomorrow, well, we're going to find out about the big D word, determination. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I look forward to having you join me tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.